It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Extra Time with me, Liam Horobin. Episode 12. I got to start counting how many episodes are on because every single time I hit record, I always just guess. It's a guessing game around here on Extra Time presented by Betway. Shout out Betway 19 plus. Please bet responsibly. It's important you do. We'll get into good betting talk later on. I got three bets for us lined up. I've decided I'm going to do a full betting segment at the end. I know I've been doing it a little bit, but I've done a little bit more research on it this week. So we got three bets there, all Premier League. And then away we go. But for now, let's get away from the betting for a minute. And let's recap what has gone down in the football world recently. I've kind of come to a decision on this podcast where I'm just going to focus on some English football, I think. That is my passion in the football world, I guess you could say. That's the stuff I watch the most. It's the players I know the most. I watch a lot of the other leagues too. Like, I'll tune into Serie A. Bundesliga is quite accessible here in Canada too. La Liga, not so much. It's quite difficult to watch. And I'll be honest, I think it's quite boring. Take that, La Liga. Serie A has been a lot better this year, though. Even though Napoli has ran away with it, it feels like there's about 9-10 teams, maybe. Maybe 10's a bit too much, maybe 8 at the most, that are actually very, very good, very entertaining to watch. All done relatively well in the European competitions this season too, of course, with AC Milan and Inter Milan going head-to-head in the semi-final of the Champions League. Juventus is in the Europa League semi-final. I believe Fiorentina is still in the competition. Lazio made it relatively far too. It's been a big year for Italian football. I wouldn't actually mind maybe talking to somebody a bit more about that. Caroline actually just did a very good podcast on the Serie A. Hold on a minute. Let me center this camera here. People are watching online. I'm a little bit too far to the left. There we go. Now we're locked in. So anyways, yeah, I wanted to just let everyone know that's kind of my plan for the rest of this show's duration. Premier League football is the topic, and that's where we're going to go. There's also is something fun that happened. So my birthday was on Monday. I turned 27 years old, born in 1996, April 24th, every single year, in Manchester, England. Not a Manchester United, Manchester City fan, no, Bolton Wanderers, which we will talk about on today's show because that place is not very good at the moment. Anyways, I got one of those mystery kits. Now, this is not a sponsor. I wish they were, if you're listening, mystery kits. Let me know if you're available for a sponsorship conversation. But I got one of those kits, and my dad got it for me. So my dad has wanted to do this for me for a while, and we've kind of both agreed that if we were going to do it for each other, then we got to do it, but a club that we probably don't know. And I feel like that's a good way to do it. You want to have a bit of fun with it. You can just go buy a Barcelona jersey off the shelf or an AC Milan one, right? Like, but the one I got, let me pull it up here so I don't get the name wrong. They are called Gold Star SE. Anyone want to guess where they're from? I'll give you 5 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The Ghanaian Premier League. So this shirt, maybe I'll put it up on my socials after I post this one. So you take a look at it on my Twitter. It's at Liam Horobin, Liam, L-I-A-M, Horobin, H-O-R-R-O-B-I-N. You can find me. You'll find my stuff. Mostly hockey, but I do talk about a lot of football on there too, on the weekends especially. But it was pretty cool. And I want to know if you're one of these people that has had a mystery box before. Let me know what you thought of it. I think I might do it again. I think I got a couple of buddies whose birthdays are coming up in the summer. Might see if I can dabble in that area of things for a little bit and have some fun with it. I've seen some online, like a lot of guys get like PSG jerseys, like the away ones, and they're very, very nice. But this one's cool. It's green. And it's got like a flag. It's got a flag in it. It's kind of faded. It's like a US flag a little bit, but it's a very cool jersey. So the team is called Gold Stars SE. I wonder how they're doing actually in the Ghanaian league. I just looked up who they were. I never looked to see, if they were any good. So let's have a quick peek here. See if I can pull them up. Gold Star SE. Oh, they don't even come up on my app. FootMob, what are you playing at? Anyways, that was how my birthday went. I got a couple other little things too. Nothing really football related, but it was a good birthday overall. My mid-20s have disappeared, but I'm happy to be pushing on to my 30s now. I cannot find this team anywhere. Gold Star SE. I swear I'm not making this up. Gold Star SE. What the heck? Oh, they're called Bibian Gold Stars SE. Not what I thought they were called. So they play... Oh, it's because the owner is... So the owners are Mensin Gold Mines and Bibiani. So I don't know if that means all one, maybe, if that's one person. I'm really trying to find it here. There we go. They are currently ninth in the Ghanaian Premier League. 10 wins this season, 8 draws, 10 losses. Ninth out of 18. So the mid-table, clear of relegation. Actually, no, they're not. They are 6 points out of relegation. I'm assuming they play 38 games in a season. Yeah, it looks like they got 8 games left. So we'll see. Hopefully the boys in Gold Star will survive relegation. And I can wear their jersey with pride. Maybe I'll wear it on the next episode. I should put it on this. It's just something that came up when I was just thinking about it. So anyways, moving on from the Ghanaian Premier League, of course. That was a great conversation after I say I'm going to talk about the English Premier League. I immediately jump to an African league, which makes no sense truly, but here we are, and that's why you're all here to listen. The next reason you're here to listen, Bolton Wanderers. I'm telling you, people, we won that trophy and we've not been the same team since. Since beating Plymouth in the Papa John's, we beat Exeter 1-0, good result. Drew against Cambridge, who were in a bottom spot in League One. Scrapping against relegation, 95th minute equaliser in that one. Beat Oxford 1-0, poor performance, didn't deserve the result at all, but managed to get away with one, which is, I suppose, is what good teams do. Drew 1-1 against Burn, another poor result. That was, we were winning 1-0 and we threw it away. Beat Shrewsbury 1-0. I think it was Deion Charles that got that winner. John Sheehan scored in that one. And then the other night, lost 1-0 to Accrington Stanley. Who were they? If you know, you know. Accrington Stanley, though, like 1-0. My dad was telling me about this game. He watched it a bit more than I did. He said it was just a shambles and the squad has just not been the same. Battling injuries a little bit, but nothing too crazy. Like, we lost a player in the Papa John's final after a horrendous tackle. I can't remember the gentleman's name who tackled him, but Toll was the guy who went down. He's a Northern Ireland international for us. Just fantastic centre back. A player that's kind of on your team sheet every single week. And now we have to play MJ Williams in that position. And he's a center midfielder. So you can imagine how that's going. He's actually, to his credit, he's done decently well. But Bolton, 2 games left, 75 points with 44 games played. So yeah, 2 games left. They've won 21, drawn 12, lost 11. So they can't catch Barnsley. Barnsley have 85 points in 4th. So if you're not familiar with the format of the Football League, in League 1, which Bolton was in, the top 2 teams get automatically promoted to the Championship. So right now, if the league ended today, that would be Plymouth, who Bolton beat in the final, and Ipswich Town, if you're a Premier League fan, you may remember them from way back when. They finished top four, I think, one year. Maybe it was fifth. And then they got relegated immediately the year after. And then, so if those two go through, that would be the two teams that go up to the Championship. Now, the playoffs at the moment are Sheffield Wednesday, Barnsley, Bolton, and Derby. Four former Premier League teams. So those would be it. So it would be 3 versus 6, 4 versus 5. And then from there, they play in a playoff series. So you play 2 games, home and away. The highest seed gets a second leg because that's the home leg. And I think Bolton haven't been in the playoffs for a while, so I might be wrong on this. But I don't think away goals count anymore. I think it's just straight up score. If it's an even drawn aggregate after the 2 matches, then you do your extra time or penalties, whatever it may be. So Bolton right now, with 2 games left, they have coming up Fleetwood Town, who sits in 12th in the League One. Not really going anywhere. They can't catch Derby in 6th. And then Bristol Rovers, who are currently, where are Bristol? Oh, they're also in 15th. So it's 2 winnable matches. 2 very winnable matches. They've got, they're still in there. They're getting results in a way, but Peterborough is right there on the tail. Peterborough is in 7th place with 73 points. Portsmouth and Wickham both have 68 in 8th and 9th. But let me do some quick math here. 68 plus 3, 71 plus 3. Yeah, so they can't make it. So it's only Peterborough who can catch either Derby or Bolton left for Derby. Portsmouth, who, like you just said, sitting in 8th. Good team. And then also Sheffield Wednesday, which will be a big one because Sheffield Wednesday is still, they're 4 points back of Ipswich in 2nd. So they might still be fighting for a spot there to get into the Championship automatically. And then for Peterborough, they have Bristol Rovers and Barnsley to finish the season. So it's going to be an intense end for Bolton, but they got to figure it out. They got to figure out to score some goals again and just try and gain some symmetry back into the squad. It's just not been there. And it'd be a shame to have such a great season, to win a trophy, and then not even to not get promoted. It's going to be a tough task, especially with the way they've been playing. They would have to try and beat Sheffield Wednesday. I would assume they would be the team that gets to the final, which is at Wembley again. But just overall, you go through all this effort, and I love Ian Everett. I really do. But at some point, he's like, well, when's time come up for Mr. Everett? We'll see. We'll see what happens with Bolton. But yeah, next up, like I said, they have Fleetwood Town this weekend. 8 a.m. kickoff if anyone wants to watch that one in the Alberta region. But anyways, we'll go over quickly to the top of the English pyramid, the Premier League. So a lot of midweek games this week, so we're going to focus on those ones rather than the ones that happened on the weekend. Obviously, the big one we got to look at is Arsenal and Manchester City. So when we did this the other week, not last episode, the one before, we tried to do a prediction of who was going to win the Premier League. And we did have it mathematically coming out that Arsenal would win. And I had it that Arsenal, I can't remember how many wins it was. They would have had 8 games left. So it would have been 6 wins, 1 draw, 1 loss. Well, since then, they've drawn twice and lost once. So that record is absolutely out the window. And City look unbeatable. And I don't know how they're going to stop him. It truly looks impossible at this moment that Arsenal is going to win the league. Because right now, as we talk here on April 27th, Arsenal is first in the Premier League with 75 points. And Manchester City is second in the Premier League with 73 points. However, they have 2 games in hand. Feels like this is done and dusted. And this is something we mentioned last week too. City just know how to win football matches. They know how to win football matches at these crucial, crucial, crucial times and get it done and lift the trophy at the end of the day. They're competing for the treble this season. Can it be done? If anyone's going to do it, it's City. They have to play United in the final, who, to their credit, did win a cup this season too, winning the League Cup. Obviously, the Premier League, like we just discussed, I've got to beat out Arsenal, which looks inevitable at the moment, unless they slip up on their own accord, which also doesn't seem very likely. And then, of course, the big one, which they've not won yet, is the Champions League, where they play Real Madrid. Now, Real Madrid in the Champions League is something different. But Real Madrid in La Liga is quite horrendous. So it's going to be interesting to see if City can get that one done. I truly think this is City's year, just all around, to wrap it all up and probably win the treble. It would be something, though, if Manchester United were the ones to stop City from winning a treble, considering the last team to win the big treble in England. I know Liverpool won a treble last year, it's not the same, was Manchester United, of course, in 1999 when Ole Gunnar Solskjaer scored the Champions League winner in whatever that was, however late that was, against Bayern Munich. But that was a special team, special Manchester United team, and now it looks like Manchester City is right there with him. I've seen like a lot of debates recently too of who's the greatest manager of all time, Sir Alex Ferguson or Pep Guardiola. And people keep talking as if like Sir Alex Ferguson did nothing for the game. Did absolutely nothing. By the sounds of it, Sir Alex Ferguson, all he did was win the Premier League 13 times, but that's it. That's all he did. He didn't change anything in the game. He didn't invent anything. What? Let's not... I don't get it. I don't get it at all. Let's not disrespect what Sir Alex was able to do. Also, outside of the Premier League, he was the last manager to win something that didn't in the Scottish League with a team that wasn't named Celtic or Rangers when he won with Aberdeen, which is what, 86, I think it was, something crazy like that. Maybe that's too far. I can't remember, but it was around that era. But it's just like Sir Alex Ferguson has been able to create some of the greatest players this planet has ever seen. Cristiano Ronaldo, Wayne Rooney, Eric Cantona, Giggs, Scholes, Beckham, like there's so many, like Terry Sheringham, I suppose, if you want to put it in like an English perspective, Andrew Cole, like Dwight York, Edwin van der Sar, Peter Schmeichel, like should I just keep going? Because there's so many more. Yap Stam, like it's crazy. And I think it's so hard to compare what they've done because aren't the managers before? Now, this isn't me saying Sir Alex is better than Pep or like who was before Sir Alex was better than him. But don't those managers kind of like set the path for the next managers coming up of like what the standard is? Like Sir Alex set the standard for everything in the Premier League. Every manager in the Premier League tried to come in and beat Sir Alex. Jose Mourinho was able to do it, of course. Arsene Wenger did it, I think, twice. And then also, what's his name? Roberto Mancini did it. Did Pellegrini win one? I can't remember. Whatever it was. So my point is like the best managers had to come to try and beat Sir Alex, and every year he still mostly found a way. He won the Premier League 13 times. But either way, if Pep wins the treble, it'll be great. It'll be very good for him to do it. I think he would cement himself as top three manager ever at the moment. One other name that always doesn't get thrown out there, I think, is Mourinho. Like, I know he's kind of faded away a little bit these last, what, maybe 10 years, I suppose. Like, he had that, but he won the Premier League a couple of times with Chelsea. I always loved the quote where it's like, my greatest accomplishment was taking Manchester United to second in the Premier League, where everyone laughed at the time, and now looking back at it, it was probably wasn't wrong. Won the Champions League with Porto, of course, too. Also won the UEFA Cup with Porto, I think the year before, maybe just like the year before that. So just kind of wild. Like, I don't know. It's hard to say who really is the greatest manager ever. I think it's the same with players too. Like, of course, we're always going to say Messi for now is the greatest player because he just won the World Cup, but Pelé won three World Cups, and it's just hard to compare to the eras. But during Sir Alex's era, he was the best manager in the Premier League at the minimum, arguably the world. During Guardiola's era as a manager in the Premier League, he's been the best manager. Like, Klopp's good, but he's won one Premier League. Just kind of an interesting debate. Interesting little debate. But anyway, Arsenal lost to get... really got off track on that one. Arsenal lost. Tottenham United today was something. Like, Tottenham is an absolute shambles. I don't even know who's going to be their next manager. Who would want it? Nagelsmann, I guess, is a name that's been thrown out there. I'm not sure what the update on him is right now, but it just seems like their owner is an absolute mess in Daniel Levy. And Tottenham should be way, way better than what they are. And they just have no consistency in the squad. Like, I don't know. Is it worth for them to find a younger manager. Apparently Carlo Ancelotti might leave Real Madrid too. Maybe that could be an option for them. Do they want another former Chelsea manager though to join the long list of guys before? I don't know if Tottenham fans would like that again very much, but we'll see. Who else we got? Just to recap it all quickly. Bournemouth, massive win over Southampton. I think it's fair to say Bournemouth is probably in the clear now. 29 points with Leicester in 18th, Bournemouth at 36 with 5 games left. I mean, something would have to go horribly wrong for them, which I mean, more than capable of. But Gary O'Neill has done a fantastic job with that Bournemouth squad compared to where they were at the start of the season when Scott Parker got sacked after a 9-0 win. Like, Gary O'Neill should he be in conversation for Premier League Manager of the Year? I don't think he would win it. I think that's a lock for Mikel Arteta if he wins the Premier League or not. And even a guy like Eddie Howe and even Unai Emery, despite coming in for half the year, like there's so many other guys who like Brighton's boss, Brentford's boss. Interesting. Now, Gary O'Neill, if I don't know if you can vote out of 5, you might get my 4th vote. Newcastle big win today too. Forest massive win against Brighton 3-1 to kind of help them out. Chelsea absolute shambles. I do want to go into a little bit more about them right after this. Liverpool 2-1 win over West Ham. Wolves 2-0 over Palace. Aston Villa continue their surge. I really liked our episode last week of talking about Villa and what they've been able to accomplish. And it just kind of continued on. Like, it's a huge win over Fulham. Tyrone Mings, they're now 54 points in 6th place. What a season. I think even if they finished like 8th, I think Villa fans would be very, very happy. Leeds 1-1 against Leicester too. And then just the Premier League. It's a special league. It's coming down to the wire here. Southampton currently at the bottom with Everton and Leicester filling out the relegation spots. Forest 1 point out of relegation along with Leeds in 16th. West Ham have built a little bit of a cushion for themselves with a game in hand over Leeds. 34 points compared to Leeds 30. And then Bournemouth 36. Wolves 37. Same with Palace. Chelsea 39. So let's just stop at Chelsea. What the fuck? Honestly, like that is it's crazy to see where Chelsea are right now. And if you had told me that you predicted this at the start of the season, I still wouldn't believe that you predicted it because it just doesn't seem real. Chelsea Football Club are 10 points out of a relegation spot. And to be honest, when you look at their remaining games,
one size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
To me, it looks like they might get one win the rest of the season. So they got Arsenal this weekend. Sorry, that one's on Tuesday, actually, not this weekend. Probably a loss. It's at the Emirates. So you have Bournemouth. Honestly, what has Chelsea done to prove that they can beat a team like Bournemouth? Literally nothing. So I'm going to put that one down as a loss. Forest, I'll give them the win at home to Forest because Forest are the worst Premier League team. Away from home, you're going to lose to City away. You're probably going to lose to United away, and then you close out the season against Newcastle at home. maybe that one depends on what Newcastle are trying to accomplish. Have they locked up third? Like, where are they? Are they still challenging? So that's going to be interesting. But to me, you have two, they might get relegated. They have two swing games against two relegation teams. Will they? I highly doubt Chelsea will get relegated. But the fact the conversation is even being had is outrageous for how much money they've spent, the talent on the squad, the managers they've ran through this season. They've had Thomas Tuchel, Graham Potter, and Frank Lampard. Say what you want. They're all good managers in their own way. Maybe not Lampard at this level. But I do have a comment on Lampard shortly, but man, that is an absolute joke. And you look at their most recent games too, like lost to Madrid, of course, at home, lost to Brighton, drew against Liverpool, lost to Villa, drew against Everton. Last home win, which I guess was a home win, funnily enough, was Dortmund. It's just an absolute disaster. Just an absolute disaster for them. I messed this up, but that's okay. Last win was actually against Villa. I read the wrong page because we spoke about them last week too, and it was bad. It was very bad. But Chelsea, just crazy. So yeah, I'm going to predict they win one of their last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games. They'll win one against Forest. Honestly, I'm just going to put them down for 5 of the losses. They can't score. They've scored one goal under Frank Lampard. One goal under Lampard. That is obnoxious. It is crazy. Obnoxious is probably the wrong word, but it's just a wild little stat. So there's something I found interesting, actually, about Lampard's, I think it was most recent press conference or the one right after the loss against Brentford this week, but he spoke about the balance of the squad and how it just isn't working, which is obvious for, I think, any regular football fan that this was just not going to work. You have too many mouths to feed. Ridiculous. But maybe Todd Boehly clearly just wanted this massive squad and thought, hey, all this talent will surely prevail in a positive way. Well, you're incredibly wrong, Todd Boehly. This is not the Los Angeles Dodgers anymore, where you can just buy your way to championships every single season. This is a Premier League where you also have 19 other teams spending as much money as they can to try and have maximum success in the league. And Chelsea just can't find any chemistry. Frank Lampard also spoke about how the confidence within the squad is basically non-existent, which is just unsurprising. But there was one thing actually he said, which I was most intrigued about, and that was Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. So when Aubameyang joined Chelsea, I was skeptical. I think a lot of people were. I just didn't feel like that was the right decision at the time, but they needed a striker. At the end of the day, they needed a striker, and Aubameyang has a history of scoring in the Premier League. His last few years haven't been that great, but he's been able to score at almost every single level that he's played at. And basically, paraphrasing a little bit, Frank Lampard took a shot at Graham Potter. And I think this is a fair point. Basically saying how it was crazy that Graham Potter just didn't have him in the squad available. So whenever you submit a list to the Champions League of players you want to make eligible. I believe it's a 25-man squad. And Graham Potter didn't make Aubameyang one of those players that would become available. So when Chelsea go and play Real Madrid and Frank Lampard wants to put a striker in, he's looking at his one number nine, who's Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, and he can't play him. So I thought that was a good point by Frank Lampard. And the more I thought about it, like I said, I've been critical of this signing. I think a lot of people have. And to be fair, he's done nothing to prove anybody wrong at the moment. But Lampard made the point of these players who are number nines, like Aubameyang, need to play week in, week out. Because if you don't, you don't get in the flow of things, and then you get out of rhythm, and then you're not able to score. You're not familiar with your teammates anymore. And he's got a great point. Aubameyang has, I've got it up right here, 219 career goals. That's coming from Ligue 1, Bundesliga, Premier League, La Liga. And yeah, some massive clubs do, obviously. Spent a lot of time at Arsenal, Dortmund, Barcelona. What's the Saint Etienne was the one team he was at in France where he got a bulk of his goals. So I think Lampard's got a point. I think we're going to be seeing Aubameyang in the squad a little bit more, and they should, because they don't have a striker. Kai Havertz is not the striker this team needs. Does his best. I'm not a massive fan of Kai Havertz. I liked him a lot more when he was with Leverkusen in Bundesliga, but this is what they've got. And it'll be interesting to see if Pochettino, who is supposed to be the next manager of Chelsea, which should be a pretty good hire for them. Pochettino's obviously a great manager, had a lot of success with Tottenham, despite not winning trophies, which Tottenham fans want, but sometimes you got to take what you get. I wonder if he could get Lukaku back. I wonder if he could talk to Lukaku and be like, look, new ideas here, this is what we're going to do, blah, blah, blah. I mean, you got to figure something out. You have that guy on your paycheck, pay buck every week, payroll, whatever it's called. I don't make that kind of stuff. I've been doing accounting all evening, though. I hated it. But props to people who are accountants, because numbers just a bit more complicated than they should be. But anyway, Chelsea got to figure out everything. I mean, you look at the squad and it's just so many players everywhere. And I think that's the worst part. It's not even just like, oh, they've got too many centre-backs, or they've got too many strikers. No, they've just got too many everything. They've got too many goalies. Like, how do you have too many goalies to play? I just don't understand. I bet Manchester United wish they had too many goalies. I know they have Dean Henderson, but that one seems like it's an absolute shambles. Let's pull up the squads here quickly, and just maybe we'll do a little exercise of talking about players who should be here, should be gone. Kepa and Mendy. You could probably get rid of both, but I would just get rid of one or the other. I feel like Mendy would be the one who would go. Kepa's still got a little bit of a runway around him, and you got the young goalie there that you got from the Chicago Fire. I can't remember his name, but you got him. Like, it's just so many players on this team, man. It's crazy. I'm not even going to go through it, to be honest, because it's an absolute disaster. So many guys. Like, how is Ruben Loftus-Cheek still on this team? I like him. I like Ruben Loftus-Cheek. But you watch him. He's 1 week he's playing left back. 1 week he's playing right back. The next thing he's playing center back. Then he's a striker. Then he's in the midfield. Somehow makes it into the England squad every now and then, too. There's also Chalobah. Lampard has been doing that, too. Recently, I think he played both fullback positions against Brentford. Conor Gallagher, reports were that Conor Gallagher might be going to Borussia Dortmund, which would be fantastic and makes a lot of sense for Dortmund, I think. And then you also have guys like Pulisic. Is Pulisic going to be around anymore? João Felix, are you going to try and extend the loan? Mudrik has been a disaster. Sterling's been okay. Looks like he's getting a little bit better. Ziyech, Hakim Ziyech, I think I say how he says his name. He was out the door. He was gone. Havertz, like, golly wally. Is Timo Werner sold or is he on loan? I kind of forgot about him too. I can't remember. I'll have to look that one up after the show. But anyways, Chelsea's an absolute mess. Frank Lampard is a good coach if you're under the age of 23, and that's why I think Frank Lampard should probably stick around at Chelsea. I think Lampard would be a great under-23s manager or in some development role. Spoke about it the other week. Like, he's developed a lot of good players. Mason Mount, Tammy Abraham, Tomori, and I know they were kind of the guys who were coming up through. But eventually those guys who are coming through have got to be given a chance. And Lampard did that to his credit. So I think it would be maybe wise of Chelsea to put him in that kind of role and see what he's able to accomplish. Or also, if you're Lampard, maybe just go back to the championship. Just an idea, Frank, if you're listening, probably. Anyways, let's wrap up the show with Betway because I want to go to bed. Weird schedule in the Premier League this weekend. Like, there's only, I think there's three or four games on Saturday and the rest are on Sunday. I'm not sure why that happened. Maybe it's, I guess it's because they played midweek and just trying to give teams a little bit more time to relax, I guess, and regroup for the matches. But this is where we're looking for Betway for this one. So first match, Bournemouth versus Leeds. Bournemouth plus 160. That's where we're going. Money line. Bournemouth won 4 of the last 5. Leeds, absolutely horrible. I know they got a decent result in their last match. What was it? 1-1 draw against Leicester. But besides that, absolutely leaking goals. Only got 2 wins away from home all season. Two. I think Forest is the only team that has a worse record than that. Lost 3 of the last 4. I'm going with Bournemouth plus 160. Liverpool, Tottenham. Liverpool, not a great season, obviously. Currently sitting in 6th in the league. Tottenham, similar, just up and down year for them. Like, it's disastrous, to say the least. So with this one, I'm going to go with Liverpool to score and Tottenham to score, but Liverpool to win at plus 175. Liverpool have won 10 matches at Anfield this season. I believe they've drawn or had points taken away in 5 or something like that. Either way, Tottenham are scoring goals. There's only been 4 times this season they've been kept off the score sheet, so I don't mind that one. And here's my wild card for the weekend. Take it if you wish. But if you are taking it, please bet responsibly, because this is just one that I'm basing it off form and what they've been able to do recently. But I'm going with Aston Villa to beat Manchester United at Old Trafford. Plus 320. This is nothing really to do with United and what they've been able to do. Like, they are struggling with injuries, of course, right now. But Villa are just absolutely red hot. Plus 320. The value seems a bit too good not to go out and do that one. So Villa plus 320 to beat United at Old Trafford. Villa has points in 10 straight games. Something to consider when you're looking at your sports books this weekend, specifically Betway. So go check that out. Betway 19 plus. Please bet responsibly. But that's a wrap for me on the show this week. Thank you very much for listening. I do appreciate it. And we'll see you next time. Have a great weekend, everybody. Farewell.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.